Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Irvin, Daf Samach Dalet. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Clara Bitensky, Krona Basmeyer, and Herman Kilson, Chaim Ben Avram Shmaryo. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah. We begin with the words Gufa, about 10 lines down on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Gufa is always a good place to start because it reviews what we had yesterday. And we learned yesterday the following statement that was made in the name of Yehudim Rishmuel. Gufa, I'm going to review them Rishmuel. Afilu sechiro vafilu lekito no sein eruvo vidayo. The end of yesterday's shiur, we had a discussion where Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel made the statement that a person who is a lokit or a sochir, these basically are people that work as a sharecropper of some sort of a paid employee, a part-time worker for a non-Jewish owner of the field, and therefore, in this situation, when the non-Jewish person in this chotzer doesn't wish to sell his rights so that the people, the Jewish people in the chotzer, are able to go and use the chotzer with the neir of chatzeros, so he would ruin it for them. That was the whole gzera that the rabbi said. They know that they're not going to want to do this because they're going to suspect, as we pointed out yesterday, that you're either trying to take the rights all the time and not just for Shabbos, or that you're possibly doing some sort of black magic, some sort of kishuf here, so they won't be so willing to rent it to you, and therefore you're going to want to move out of the neighborhood, and this was the goal of the rabbis. In any event, if that person has a lokit or a sochir, these farm workers for him, so then they can participate in the eruv, and that obviates the need for the goyisha person who owns the house in that chotzer to participate, ruin it for all the Jewish people in the eruv. That was the first statement the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. And about this statement, Amar Rav Nachman, Kama Ma'aya HaShmaisu. Oh, what a beautiful vort this vort is. Then Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel makes a second statement that Rav Nachman was not as pleased with. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Shasu Revius Yayin Al Yore. If a person has drunk a revius of wine, again, a revius is somewhere from 2.8 to about 5-point-something ounces, of wine. Certainly not enough to make what we would call a person really inebriated. They would be somewhat compromised, according to the statement of Yehuda Meshmul, in terms of their ability to fully think, and therefore they shouldn't be making psak halacha, al yorah. They shouldn't go and paskin, because the wine that they drunk, even just the revius, that is enough to impair them. Again, lahabdil of tavdos, I would say in driving. A person is legally below the limit of driving, where it's a problem from a law point of view if he's drunk revius of wine. But his reflexes will be slightly impaired, and that split second could be something that could be dangerous. So too over here. He could probably still paskin the shayla and get it right most of the time, or even majority of the time. But in this situation, it could compromise him somewhat, and therefore Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, if you have a revius of wine, al yora. In fact, we just discussed yesterday, one of the sins that Nadav and Avihu possibly did that caused them to die was that they were shasu yayin. They drank revius of wine, and that's why right afterwards, when Aaron was silent, vayidom Aaron, so he was given the schus in Parsha Shmini of having the whole parsha of yayin v'shichor al teish tatov v'necha. So that whole parsha was given to Aaron. It was said to Aaron, it wasn't said over to Moshe. Okay, so that's a review that Shmuel says, don't paskin if you had a revius of wine. And on this, Omer of Nachman, loma ayuha shmaisa, this shmaisa I don't like. This I'm not happy with. Why? He says, pum faked. He says, for me, the exact opposite. Do I know when I take a glass of wine, kokama de lo shasina reviyasa de chamra lo tzila datoy. If I do not have this glass of wine, I don't think clearly. This glass of wine makes me crystallize all my thoughts very well, and having this little bit of wine is actually a positive thing and not a negative thing, and therefore, he said, I do not like this statement of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amalei Rava, Rava says to Rav Nachman, but wait a second, why did you say what you did? My time of Omar Mar Hochi, why did you, Rav Nachman, he called him Mar, why did you say this type of a thing? This is not proper. Now Rashi points out, he wasn't talking about the content, he didn't disagree with the content that Rav Nachman said that the drinking of the wine I find is helpful. That's not what he was arguing about. As Rashi says, why are you saying Zu Noe? Vizu ainu noah. Why did you say, I like the first statement of Yehuda Meshmul in regards to the Sachir and the Lakit, but I do not like the second statement that Yehuda Meshmul said that drinking wine is, you're not allowed to possibly get a reviews of wine. So Rav is questioning, why did you say, I like this one and I don't like that one? What's this based upon? Ha'amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Rav Acha Bar Chanina said, what does it mean, Maidasiv, what does the Pasuk in Mishle mean when it says, Viroe zonos ya'abed hon? So if somebody is Roes Zonos, that literally means you're friends with the Zonos, so you're going to lose all your money. In other words, the simple understanding is, if you frequent such people, they're going to take all your money away. But it says on the side that Rashi and Mishlei tells us that the word Zonos is spelled Mole. It's the only place that the word Zonos is spelled with two Vavs. Otherwise, it's spelled missing one of the Vavs. And the reason for that is, B'kach Dorshu Kach. That's why we have this drash over here, to teach us that the word Zonos is a play on the word Zu Noe. So, the drasha that Rav Acha Bar Chanina makes from this pasuk of Roe Zonos is Kola Omer Shmua Zu Noah. The Zu Eino Noah. If somebody says and starts saying these words of Torah nice, these words of Torah not so nice, that's not a good thing. He'll end up Ma'abed Hona Shol Torah. He'll end up losing. Rashi says Kvoda Shol Torah. The Hon, the wealth of the Torah, is going to be diminished. The Sofo Lishtakech Mimenu. And you're eventually going to lose your Torah learning. So, Rava questioned Rav Nachman, how come he's starting to say, I like this vort, I don't like that vort, that's not proper. And Rav Nachman heard this, he said, Amale, Hadrid B. He says, I retract, I won't do this anymore. As Rashi says, Lo Osif Od, I won't do this anymore. He wasn't aware of the statement. He said, okay, if you tell me that's the drasha, I will not do it again. Okay. In any event, now we're going to go discuss a little bit the effect of wine on various activities. So, Amar Rabba Barav Huna, Rabbi Baruna tells us, Shosui Ayispal, if a person has drunk a certain amount of wine, he is usher to daven. We'll see in a moment how much wine that is. And this is called Shosui Yayin, if he drinks. V'yimispalo tfilasu tfila. But in this situation where he was just Shosui Yayin, so this person, if he davens, doesn't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. His tfila is accepted. Maybe not especially beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he didn't have a clear thoughts, but his tefillah is still acceptable. He wouldn't have to repeat the davening. As opposed to shikr, a person who's reached a higher level of inebriation, a much higher level, ayispal, he also shouldn't daven. Neither the shasui or the shikr, if they would ask a shaila, would be told, yes, go daven. Each of them would be told, wait till the effects of the wine wear off and then daven. But as opposed to the shasui, where his tefillah b'di'evit is a tefillah, the shikr, im hispalo tefillaso to'eva, his tefillah is an abomination. It's a terrible thing. And in fact, halach l'maisa, let's say there was the zman of shachris, and he davened he was drunk shachris, and he gets uninebriated. He is no longer drunk. By the end of the zman of shachris, still within zman of shachris, he'd have to daven again. His first tefillah was nothing. It wasn't even good b'di'evit. So now we have this shosui and this shikr. What are the definitions? Hechidami shosui, the hechidami shikr. How do you define a person who's had a little bit to drink and a person who's had a tremendous amount to drink that he's so inebriated that his tefillah is called a toeva? So Gemara says, Kiha, the Rabbi Abba Bar Shumni, the Rabbi Menashe Bar Yimya Migifti. That's the girsa that we have on the side. It says it should be Rabba Bar Shumni, not Rabbi Abba Bar Shumni, and it should be from, not Gifti, but it should be from Difti. In any event, these two Amarayim, Kavu Komiftere Mehadode Amahavra Dinahar Yofti. They were saying goodbye to each other. One Mustama had stayed by the other one, and they were at the point, the first one was Malava, the one who lived there was Malava, as the din is, took him, escorted him on the road, all the way till they got to the departure point, which was the bridge that they had over there. This Ma'avra is a bridge that was by this river known as Yofti. And they were saying goodbye to each other. And Amru, they each said to each other what the Gemara in Brachos tells us. Kochad minon lema milsa de lo shmir lechavre. Each of us say of a good vort that the other one doesn't know and hadn't heard. And in this way, the Amar Mari Bar Rav Huna, Mari Bar Rav Huna said, that when you say goodbye to somebody, you're not going to see them for a while, so you should say a dvar halacha, you say a good vort, and in this situation, shemitoch kach zochro, this will cause you to have very pleasant memories of the person. Every time you think of this vort, you'll think of your friend, and this will further love and achdus in Klal Yisrael, something which we desperately need nowadays. And this was the suggestion, each of them should say a good vort. So each one said, we don't know which one said which, each one says a vort. One is related to the wine, which is why it's brought in. Pasach HaAviyomar, one of them said the following part. Hechi Dami Shosui, the Hechi Dami Shikr. I'll tell you the definitions of Shosui and Shikr. We just did ask how much is considered Shosui and how much is considered Shikr. So, Shosui, Kol Sheyochol Adabil Lefnei HaMelech. Shikr, Kol Sheyochol Adabil Lefnei HaMelech. The amount of wine that you've drunk. Are you called a drunk or just somebody that drank a little bit of wine? So if you're called a shasoy, it means that you could still have a conversation with the king. Your voice wouldn't be totally slurred. You would be able to make sense. And okay, maybe you wouldn't be as quick on your feet. Maybe you wouldn't be as sharp as you'd like to be. But you could carry on a normal conversation and people wouldn't necessarily know that you drunk a lot of wine. A shiker is somebody that really doesn't make any sense. He's slurring his words. He's totally intoxicated. And this person is called a shiker. So that's what one of them said to the other. These are the definitions of shasui and shiker. Pasach idach. Now, that was the point that we wanted to make. And we could have stopped over here, but we just finished off the story. What was the part of the other one? So pasach idach yomar. The other one said the following part. Hamachzik b'nichsei ager. If a person wishes to go and make a chazaka on a ger. Now, a ger is a person that doesn't have any descendants above him, so to say. He comes as a tinok. He's a brand new person from a halachic point of view, so he has no inheritance. Every Jewish person has inheritance, even if he has no children, so then his father would inherit him. If his father's not around, then he has uncles, his father's brothers. If they're not around, you go to the grandfather. And if he's not around, then you go to the grandfather's brothers, your great uncles. And if they're not around, you go to their children and down. So every Jewish person who's born Jewish is going to have a 20th cousin, 20th removed, at least. So there's always going to be some sort of relative. But if you're a ger, shenolat kekotim domi, if you're a convert, so then you have nobody above you. So you only have progeny if you've had children. So if this ger did not have any children, so his property becomes hefker upon his death. So this other Amora said, Hamachzik b'nichsei ager, if a person wants to make a chazak in the property of a ger. Now, it doesn't mean he just wants to make a chazak. He's not talking here about the dinim of chazakah. Rashi explains, we're talking about that this is a windfall. Midei detzmiyahi. When a person suddenly comes into the possession of this ger, this ger was a millionaire, and suddenly this pauper, he takes possession of the ger dies suddenly, he walks into the house, makes a chazak in the house, and all of a sudden he owes this $5 million mansion. So this is something that's astonishing to everybody. The tohui bo inshe, and people are going to be shocked and amazed at this, lefi shabolo below yegia. And everybody's going to say, wow, look how easy, what a windfall this guy had. Look how he got this house without any effort whatsoever. And therefore, lefikoch in miskaimim, it's not going to stay with him, unless he does something positive with this money. As Rashi says, when something comes to you very easy, the Rashi's on the Omid Beis, he says, since he does a mitzvah, it's going to stay in his hand, because otherwise, people are going to be shocked. The milsa de tohu ba in sheik. The people are going to be amazed that he got this money easily. And the shaltabu ain nabisha. And everybody's going to say, "Hey, what did he do to get it? Wow, he got lucky. He doesn't deserve it." And in Shemayim, they're going to look at all the ayin hara, all that jealousy, and they're going to say, "Hey, does he deserve it or not?" So this Amora said, if you want to make sure that you stay in possession of this huge windfall that you got from the nichsei ager, what should you do that it should stay with you forever, that it shouldn't be easy come, easy go? So he suggests, take some of the money. Rashi says, you don't spend all of the money, otherwise then it's not much of a windfall. So he says, take some of the money, and so let's say you just got this $1 million. So you spend $50,000 and you buy a Sefer Torah, and that will make the other $950,000 stay in your pocket, stay with you. Yikach bem Sefer Torah, to help establish this money in your permanent possession. This is a great Eitzah. That's what he said. And then he pointed out, Amr Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes said, Afilu, we turn to the Amud Beis, Baal, the Nirsi Ishto, the same thing should apply if a person gets a tremendous amount of wealth from his wife. So people say, hey, easy come, easy go. And that's also going to cause this Einabisha, Rashi says. And since it came to him so easily, people are going to be amazed at it. And he could end up losing all those possessions because of the Ayin Hara aspect, however that exactly works. So therefore, Rav Sheshes suggested, go and also do some sort of a mitzvah with this money. And this way, you'll be able to retain the rest of the money. Rava said similarly, Rava mar afilu avad iska v'ravach. Rava says, even if a person, he bought a stock and it went crazy, and everyone said, wow, that guy got so lucky. He invested in .com, and boy, oh boy, that one took off, and all of a sudden, his 100 shares in Google, which he bought for $1, are now worth $100,000. So people are going to say, wow, easy come. So, and it's going to be easy go, because it'll give him the anabisha. So Rava said, even if you made a legitimate profit, not that you got it for nothing, you were smart, but it was easy, so go and do some sort of a mitzvah with it in order to make sure that the money stays with you and people don't give you an ayin hara. And similarly, Rav Papa Amar, afilu motzo metzia. Even if you found something, so again, it's going to be, wow, this guy found this diamond ring and had no simonim on it. He announced it and nobody came for it and he's allowed to keep it. So therefore, in this situation, people are going to say, easy come, that guy didn't deserve it. And therefore, do some sort of a mitzvah with it, buy a Sefer Torah, etc., something that's appropriate. And this way you'll retain the rest of the wealth. He says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that you don't even have to go and buy a Sefer Torah, which would be used by the public, but you could even buy something that would be used by yourself, only yourself. That will also, Rashi says, Nami Mekamim Biyodeh. It doesn't have to be something that the public will necessarily benefit from. It says, do some sort of a mitzvah with it, so when the Ayin Hora, when the Ein Abisha, and the Shemayim, they look at you, they'll say, oh yeah, but look what he did with the money. He bought a nice pair of tefillin. So therefore, it's a very nice thing. And even if the tefillin don't cost as much money as the Sefer Torah, nevertheless, you're doing some sort of a mitzvah with it. That is a very good idea. Furthermore, the Amr, now the Girsa that we have over here in the Rabbeinu Chananel, is not that you found the Metziah and you should buy tefillin in it, you found ink. So you found this barrel of ink, which is very expensive. So instead of just using it for your newspaper, so go and write a pair of tefillin with it. That's the Girsa that the Rabbeinu Chananel had. So therefore, that's why he has the idea that go write a pair of tefillin. Okay. The Gemara continues and says, Yomar Rav Chonin v'item Rav Chanina. Either Rav Chanan or Rav Chanina said, Mikra, what's the source over here for all of these ideas that these Amoraim brought down, that if you had this easy come money, that you should do a mitzvah with it to go and protect it? So he brings down from what happened when we were attacked in the Midbar, so Dechsiv, Vayidai Yisrael Neder V'Gomer. So Klai Yisrael made a neder, and we said, if we win, V'Charamti, we will go and bring all of this booty that we get, we will give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rashi says, V'Ayidei Kach, Nishmas Tfilosom V'Noflu B'Yodah. Because they did this, they were able to be victorious, and all the enemy fell in their hands, and the booty as well, and they gave it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this is the source that if you do a mitzvah with it, you'll be able to keep it. You'll be successful. Amar Rami Bar Abba. Rami Bar Abba said, how do you go get rid of the effects of the wine? Derech mil, go and walk a mil, a kilometer, 2,000 amos. Or, Rashi says, this vav, v'sheina, is an or vav. Sometimes a vav can be and here Rashi says, ozu, do one of these two things. You don't have to do both of them. Either walk a mil, walk a kilometer roughly, 2,000 amos, or v'sheina, koshu, or take a little shluf, take a little nap, and that will get rid of the alcoholic effect on your body. That will get you sober. Mefigin esayayin, that will get rid of the effects of the wine. On Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, another statement that was made, this one by Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Baravua, Lo Shanu, this was true, that Rami Bar Abba said that either walking a meal or sleep will get rid of the effects of the wine. They only said this, Lo Shanu Ela Sheshosu Kedei Revius. That's only if you drank a Revius is worth. Avo Shosu Yosem Revius, but if you drank more than Revius is worth, these are actually going to be negative for you. Kol Shekein Shederech Tordoso Vishena Mishakarto, that this will actually be worse for you. If a person goes and drank more than a Revius of wine and takes a nap or walks, so that's actually going to make you more drunk. It's not going to be helpful. That's what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avuah. So Gemara now is going to bring a long braisa and question this statement that walking, if you drank more than a Revius, is bad for you. We'll bring down a braisa, which ultimately will say that walking was good for removing the effects of the alcohol, kasha, on Rav Nachman, on the Rabbi Bar Avuah, but it's going to take us a while to get there. So now we have an interesting braisa. The derech mil, mefigo hayayin, is it really true that if you walk a mil, that gets rid of the effects of the wine? I'll show you a story that's not true. For Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Maisa Rabbi Gamliel, the following story happened to Rabbi Gamliel. He was riding on a donkey, and he was traveling from Akko to Chaziv, and he had with him a mishamish. He had with him Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi, Mahalach Achrov, and his Talmud, Rabbi Eloi, was walking with him, riding with him after behind him. Okay, now, Rabbi Gamliel finds matzo geluskin baderech. Rabbi Gamliel finds these delicious breads or cakes on the road, right? We always say gluska yofe, shema yimtzo gluska yofe by Pesach time, so that's why you have to do bedikas chametz, you have to look for the chametz, because you may come to find a delicious piece of cake during the holiday of Pesach, this really chametz, and you put it in your mouth, you'll eat it before you realize it. So, therefore, that's a gluska. So, he found, Rabbi Gamliel found these delicious cakes, breads on the road. And what does he do? Amalo, he tells his Talmud, Rabbi Eloi, he called him Eloi, obviously, Tol Guluski min haderech, pick up these loaves of bread from the road, or these cakes from the road, and keep them in safekeeping. You're not allowed to go and just walk by. That will be a halacha we'll learn in a moment. Matzah Nachri Yechra, then they were keeping on going to the city of Chziv. They were traveling towards Chziv, and they meet up with this Nachri, Matzah Nachri Yechra. And Amalo, Rabbi Gamliel says to this Nachri, Mavgai. Now, that was the Nachri's name. And the Gemara will say, how in the world did Rabbi Gamliel know this? But his name was Mavgai. So, Rabbi Gamliel told this Nachri, hey, Mavgai, hey, John, told Gluskin Halalu Me'iloi, we found your breads. Go and take these breads that we found back from Eloi, my Talmud, Eloi. Okay, Rabbi Eloi gives them to him, and then they keep on going. But meanwhile, Rabbi Eloi asks this guy, Nitfalo Rabbi Eloi, he quickly goes over to this guy after he gives him the breads, and he says to him, Amlo, Meheichanata, where are you from? So the guy tells him, Amlo, Mayayaros Shel Burgenin. I come from these cities over here of these huts, these burgenin. We've had the word burgenin before. They're like tsrifim. They're like the huts that they often used by shomrim or workers. Remember, we had earlier in the Masechta also, we had a whole city of huts. Where do you start the tchum from? Are they considered a separate city? Or since they're nomadic, they're movable, they're not considered a separate city, and you start the tchum from outside your house. Anyway, he comes from such a city. One of these cities, are these temporary cities, nomadic cities. So that's what this guy tells Rabbi Eloi. Nu umashmecha, Rabbi Eloi asks him, what's your name? So the guy tells him, Mavgai Shemeini, Mavgai, that's my name. So again, Rabbi Eloi is amazed. How in the world did Rabbi Gamliel know this? So he asked him, Klum Hikirucha, Rabbi Gamliel, Miolim, have you ever met Rabbi Gamliel? No, maybe he knew Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel knew him. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel knew his name. So he said, no, never met him. Amalo, Lav, I never saw this Rabbi Gamliel beforehand. You know, thank him very much that he gave me my breads back, but I never saw him before. So at that moment, Bosa Shah, Rabbi Eloi said, we see from here, Shekivin Rabbi Gamliel Beruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Gamliel knew his name. The only way you can know his name was the Ruach HaKodesh, the greatness of Rabbi Gamliel, that he knew this guy's name without ever having met this guy beforehand. Okay, that's the story. Now, what can we learn? The Gemara doesn't tell the stories to keep us occupied. The Gemara is telling the stories for purposes. So the Gemara says, Ushlosha Dvarim Lamadu Miyosa Shah. Three things we learn from the actions of Rabbi Gamliel. Number one, Lamadu Shein Mavirin Al Ochlin. Number one, you don't pass by bread. There are halachas about bread that are different than anything else. It's not nice to go pass by bread. It's baltashlis. It's bread is a special type of a food. You don't throw bread. So you don't pass by bread. You don't pass by any Ochlin. Lamadu Shein Mavirin Al Ochlin. If you see good food on the street, so you pick it up. It's a disparagement of the food. It's a disparagement, therefore, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the food if you leave the bread lying around. Therefore, pick up the bread. Rashi says, Hamotzi ochlu maderech, ein rashai lavor alein ulanicham sham. Don't leave it there. Pick it up. Number two, L'madnu sholchan achri rov ovrid rochem. How do you know this bread wasn't kosher? Maybe the bread was kosher. Why did Rabbi Eloi not eat it? So they didn't know they were going to meet up with a guy. This was certainly something that there was no absolute likelihood that they would find the owner. So, since the majority of the people here are non-Jewish people on this road, so therefore, Rashi says, Midilo Sharalei Rabbi Eloi, from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel didn't let Rabbi Eloi eat it, Lemichlinu, so Dachzekinu Becheskas Pita Shonachrim, it must be that this was Goyish bread, Shirov of the Drachim Nachrimim, and therefore it's not Pas Yisrael, and that's why he didn't eat it, and therefore he gave it to the guy, let the guy have it. Number three, V'lamanu Shechametzo Shonachri Achar Pesach Mutaba Noah, that the Chametz of a Nachri isn't included in the din of Chametz Shavol of Pesach that the rabbi set up to prevent people from keeping and holding on to Chametz during Pesach. They made an Issur D'Rabbanan that you're not allowed to get any Hanoah from it after Pesach. So this is only on the Chametz that belongs to a Yid. But the Chametz that belongs to a guy, and Rashi says, Sha'achar Pesach Hoya, this story occurred right after Pesach, is Mutar B'Noah. The rabbi has never instituted the din of Chametz Shavuot L'Issur Pesach on Chametz that was owned by a guy. That's the heter that we have. If we sell our Chametz to a guy, that it doesn't become Osir after Pesach. If you don't sell it to a guy, Midr'Rabbanan, the rabbi's instituted that it's Osir with Hanoah after Pesach. Never mind, you can't eat it. You can't get any Hanoah from it. So therefore, in this situation, you are allowed to get Hanoah from it because he gave it to the guy. And this guy is now going to hold Rabbi Gamliel in high esteem, or he'll do a favor someday for Rabbi Gamliel. And therefore, we see that this is allowed. You're allowed to get hana from this chomet shavas of Pesach that belonged to the guy on Pesach. Story's not over. Kivin shegiel l'chziv. They keep on traveling and they reach to Chaziv. A person comes up to Ram Gamliel when he reaches there and says, "Boachol lishal anidro." The person had made an ed there, and he went to be go to Ram Gamliel to be matted an ed there. Right? You go to a gadol, a mumcha, and the mumcha can be matted an ed there. You need a beis din if you're not a mumcha. So Ram Gamliel certainly is able to go and be matter an ed there alone. So boachol lishal anidro. A person came to him and asked them to be matin eder. So Amar Lezeshimo, so Gamliel said to Rabbi Loi, who was with him on the road, and he said, "Did we drink on the road? We had lunch. I don't remember. Did we have wine with our lunch? Klum shasinu revius yain oitalki. Did we have a revius of this very good wine, known as the Italian wine, this yain oitalki, while we were traveling?" Amar Lohang, so Rabbi Loi says, "Yeah, we did." So therefore, Gamliel said, "Imkain." Therefore, Gamliel said, "Yitayel acharenu achiyofig yenenu." So Gamliel told this person who wanted Gamliel to be matined for him, he says, "Go and follow along with us. We're still traveling, and when the effects of the wine wear off, so then I'll be able to go and be matined there." And v'tiel acharem gimel milim, and he walked 3 mil. Now that's more than 1 mil. That's 3 kilometers, 6,000 amos. Until they reached a certain place that was known as the Ladders of Tzur. This was Malos Har Gavoa. This was like the incline going up a mountain, the rocky going up the ladder, like rocky steps of a mountain. And Kivin Shigil, the Tzur of the Tzur. And when they reached there, then Rabbi Gamliel says the wine effects of the wine have worn off. Yorad Rabbi Gamliel on a chamar. He got off his donkey. He didn't matin neder on the donkey. V'nis atef. He put his talus over his head. V'yosha v'hitir lo nidro. And then he fully concentrated. He wasn't going to be disturbed by anything. Now he could pay full attention and be matin the neder for this yid. So now we learn from here a whole bunch of halachos. Harbi dvarim lamadim yosheshah. So the Gemara relates that there are many dinim that we can learn from Rabbi Gamliel's actions. So number one, lamadnu shavias yain italki mishakir, that this amount of a revius of Italian wine is strong, and it's mishakir you, that it makes you not be able to paskin or to go and do hatoras nedor. Number two, the lamadnu shikur ayore, and that's the second point, that a person who is a shasru yayin shouldn't go and paskin, like we learned before from Yehuda Mershwa. Number three, the lamadnu shederech mefigo es hayayin. Now we finally get to the point of this story. We see that walking on the road, even if it's this strong Italian wine, is mefigo es hayayin. It does get rid of the effects of the wine. So before you said that if you have more than a revius, it gets rid of the effects of the wine. It's bad to walk. It doesn't get rid of the effects of the wine. It actually magnifies it. So here we see the kasha. Here we see the Rav Gamliel said that if you walk more, it's actually good for you. And number four, by the way, and we see here that you have to take hafaras nedarim very seriously. When the Adam Gadol, the Mumcha, is doing hafaras nedarim, lo rochav, he shouldn't be riding, he should be on the ground, lo mahalich, shouldn't even be walking, lo omed, and he shouldn't be standing up. He should concentrate, sit down, and therefore he can do it properly. Ela yoshev, sit in deep thought, cover yourself up, like we said, so you're not distracted by anything, and then you can do a proper hurrah. Now, Kitani Mies Shlosh Milim. We see here, now we get to our question, as I pointed out a minute ago. We see that Rabbi Gamliel said, come along with us for 3 mil, and this will get rid of the effects of the wine. But before, Rami Bar Abba said that the amount that you have to travel is only 1 mil, and if in fact, if you've drunk more than a revius of wine, the additional traveling is bad for you. So Gemara says, "Shiny yain hoitalki. Yain hoitalki is different. The mishaker tvei. It is stronger. So it's a regular revius of wine will do something, but the yain hoitalki. So they had a revius of this stronger wine. It's like having a large amount of wine. But the Gemara says that's also not good. V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avua. We just brought down before lo shanu el shishasu revius. We said that Rami Bar Avva's idea that you have to walk revius only works that you have to walk a meal if you drank revius." Only works if you have a revius. But Abul Shasa Yosef revius, if you in fact had more than reviuses of wine, kosher kain dero tordaso, vishino mishakarto. So we said that's actually not good. And here we see that he walked 3 mil. So Gemara says, Rochu Shaini, the difference between us and what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravua is he said if you're walking, it's bad for you. It's going to make you more shikr. But here, if you're riding, it will actually be good for you. Now the Gemara says, oh, hash dosis lahachi. Now you're saying this, and then the first question that we just brought down also falls apart. L'romi b'abba, nami lo kasha, that which we just said, that he said you walk 1 mil versus 3 mil, so that's also not a kasha. Rachav shiny, it depends. If you're walking 1 mil, if you're riding, then it's 3 mils. Now the Gemara questions this whole idea. Really? Ini? Why are you telling me the last statement that we learned? That's not true. Rav Nachman said that you can be mefir and neder whether you're riding or walking or standing or any way. You don't need such concentration for hafaras nedarim. So why did we just say that from Rabbi Gamliel that you do need such concentration? Shmuel says this is actually machlokes tanoim, the two opinions over here, Rabbi Gamliel and the opinion that Rav Nachman brought down. Tanoi he the ikol man diomar poskim mecharota v'ichol man diomar ein poskim mecharota, because there are two approaches over here. Now, the way Rashi understands this is the first opinion is poskim charata, is tzarech l'chochem limtso pesach l'shol. You have to go and investigate and find some real thoughts of contrition that this person has in order to be matir his neder. Shelo piskon peh, lomar l'das kein lo nadati. If I'd only had known this, I never would have made the neder. V'ilo ayis yodesh, kein hu, lo yisi noder, v'nimtso neder nekam yelo. If I'd known this, I never would have made the neder. So the Talmud Chacham has to spend time and effort trying to figure out some actual thought process over here that would make the neder be undone. As opposed to, that was Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. That's why he said you had to need concentration. But the opinion, this is the way Rashi understands, the opinion of Rav Nachman that he brings down in the name of the other Tana is, Ein Poskin. And Rashi says, Ein Tzarech Livtoach Lo B'Charata. You don't have to find some sort of a Charata. Just Ela HaChochem Okro. The Chochem says, Mutulach, Mutulach, Mutulach. Because the fact that he's coming to ask to be Matined there means that he has Charata. Zafu Pishen Omotilo Tam Akira. Even though he doesn't go and delve into it and say, well, if you'd known this or if you'd known that. So Rabbi Gamliel saw by command the Omer Poslin, you have to really investigate it. That's why you have to go and say, if you'd known this, would you have made the neder? So therefore Rabbi Gamliel says you need concentration, whereas the opinion that the Tana, the Rabbi Nachman holds like, says you do not need such concentration. That's what Rashi learns. It Tosa says that's not the normal way we use the language. It's almost pumfaker, the exact opposite of these two. Of understanding of poskim charata, ain't poskim charata, but fine, we just learned like Rashi for right now, and we have a proof to this. The Amar Rabba by Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, my posuk le'rabban Gamliel lau gavra. So he sat down, Gamliel sat down, and was matan neder. What exactly did he do? So he quoted him the following posuk from Mishle. He says, Yesh bote kimad kiros charev. So he says, there are those people who say something, and it can be like the effects of a sword. However, the words of the Chachamim can heal this. So this is what Rav said to him. Somebody who makes a neder, he expresses a neder, so he deserves to be pierced with a sword. However, if he thinks about it, if he'd known that, because if you don't follow through neder, the Rashi says that if you don't follow through with your neder, you can be chayv misa. So therefore, if a person knew this then, so then he wouldn't go and make his neder. So that's the Pesach that Rabbi Gamliel found. And therefore, Ela Shaloshon Chachom Marpe. Therefore, the rabbis found an annulment for this person. They were matir his neder. And therefore, that was the Pesach that Rabbi Gamliel found.
The Gemara continues, says, Omar Mar, we quote what we just said in the rites of Ema Virin Ala Ochlin. We just said in the story with Rabbi Gamliel that he told Rabbi Loi, go pick up the food because you're not allowed to pass by food. It's pasnish to do so. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rishim Rechoi. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rishim Rechoi, Lo Shanu, this was only said, Ela Bedoros Rishonim. This was said years ago during the earlier generations when She'ain Binos Yisrael Perutzos Bichshofim, when Jewish girls aren't considered to be very much immersed and involved in kshofim. We always say, the same applies to a warlock, the same applies to a male witch, except the women in those times, and probably throughout, quote, history of witches, it's more associated with women, this black magic, than with men. In any event, this applies to both men and women. This dinim of Isser, Machashefeh, Lotzachayeh applies to both. And at that time, originally, Jewish women were not involved at all in witchcraft, and therefore there was no concern in picking up the food. However, Avo Bedoros Achronim, in subsequent years, Shebenos Yisrael Perutzos B'chshofim Nebuch, Jewish women were associated with black magic, so then Mavirin passed by the food, because there are concerns. There are actually Gemaras that discuss this, that they would put out sometimes food in order for people to go and pick up the food and then be entrapped by somehow the kishuf that they did by their picking up the food. Tana, we learned in a braisa, shleimim ma'avirim, that if you have entire pieces of bread, you can go pass it by. However, psisim, but small pieces of bread, ain't ma'avirim. Then those you don't pass by because we're not concerned about kishuf with small pieces. They only do the kishuf apparently with large pieces, but not with small pieces. Amli Ravasi Ravashi, so Ravasi said to Ravashi, v'apsisim lo avdan, and really, with the small pieces, we're not concerned about kishuf, but we learned, v'aksiv, it says in Yecheskel, and you will go and make chilo. You'll make desanctified my nation, elami, bishale sorim uvisose lechem, with pieces of barley and with pieces of bread. So you're going to go and do this chilo. You're going to do this witchcraft using even pieces, even the so say lechem. So how can you tell me that we're not concerned about using little pieces for kishuv? Shmuel says, no, deshok lebagrayu. What Yecheskel is referring to is they got paid for doing whatever they were doing, the chilul, the kishuv, whatever they were doing, they got paid with small pieces of bread. Not that they did the kishuv with small pieces of bread. In fact, they only would use shleimim for the kishuv that they did. The Gemara continues and it says, Amr Sheishis, Mishum Rebelos Ben Azariah. Sheishis, the name Rebelos Ben Azariah. We turn to the Yomid Aleph, Samachay Yomid Aleph, Yochel Ani Liv Torahs Kol Olam Kulo Min Adin. He said, I could get all of Klai Yisrael off. Plead insanity, basically. Miyom Shchar Beis HaMikdash Yad Achshav, for anybody who has said, from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed till now, I could get them off on a plea of insanity, essentially, a plea of being intoxicated. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in Yeshaya, Lochein Shiminozos Aniyah, Ushchuras v'lomiyoyin. So therefore, listen to me, Klai Yisroel, you poor people. Yishai is exhorting them to listen to him. You're like a person who's drunk, but not from wine. Since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so you're basically considered like a drunk. And since you're lost over here like this drunk, you can be held not accountable for your deeds. So that's what he said. I could get Klai Yisroel off. That's what Rav Sheshet said in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, is this really true? A drunk person is not scot-free. Shikar, a drunk person, a shikar, mekcho mekkach, any business deals that he does, he can't plead afterwards, I was drunk. No, they're good deals. Or memkar memkar, anything that he sells is considered a good deal. The fact that he's drunk doesn't get him off. In fact, if he sins with a capital crime and he's given a warning and he does it anyway, so Beis Din will kill him. He can't say, well, I was drunk, I didn't know what I was doing. Mamisa no so. That's not a good excuse. Drunkenness is not a good excuse. So how could Rav Elazar ben Azariah have told us, according to Rav Sheshet, that in fact I could get off all Klai Yisrael because they're drunk? So Malkus, the Brisa continues, if a drunken person is chayav malchus, malchus also. We don't say, well, you were drunk, so we won't give you malchus. He gets malchus. And Klol Shaldov, the Baisa includes and says, this is the rule. Harehu kepikach l'chod varv. A drunken person is considered like a fully, mentally competent person in all things, with one exception, el shepotim in a tefillah. It's improper to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that drunken state. But the consequences of anything that you do, you're held accountable for them. So how can you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, say that you can get Klai Yisrael off? Ani yochol lift towards kol olam kulo min adin. That's not true. So Gemara says, no, what did he mean? What did Rav Sheshet say when he said, Rav Elazar ben Azariah said this, ma yochol ni lift tor? What did he mean when he said, I could go and exempt you? I'm not sure why it's here spelled a single word, yochol ni, and before we said yochol ani. In any event, the bottom line is, what does he really mean? He says, nami midin tefillah. He said, I could get Klai Yisrael off on the charge that they don't daven properly. Oh, that I could say, well, the davening can't be held accountable for because they're drunken. They have a halachic status like a drunk who is patur min hatefillah. So they daven, and if they don't daven well, I can get them off for that, but I can't get them off for all the other charges. Amr Ruchanina, Ruchanina says further, Lo shanu ela shalo yigil, shichruso shalot. That which we said that a shikar is held accountable for all of his actions, it depends on the level of drunkenness. If he's drunk to the level of shichruso shalot, Lot got drunk, he got plied with wine by his daughters, and then they had relations with him. They thought the world was destroyed. And Nashim Tzidkanios, the Lot's daughters were great, great women, and they tried to propagate with their father because they thought that the world was going to be destroyed otherwise, and they had no choice. So Lot was made drunk in that situation. So if you're that level of drunkenness that you don't know what's going on, so then you aren't held accountable for anything that you do. Aval Igiya L'Shechrus O'Shalot. If you've reached that level of drunkenness that you're at the level of Lot, pater mikulam, then you're pater from everything. But if you haven't reached that level of drunkenness, then you're held accountable for your actions. And this is a fact that Halacha is wrote down in Choshen Mishpat in Siman Reish Lamed Hey, where it tells us that if somebody is as drunk as Lot was, the Ein Yodea Mahu Osa, he doesn't really know what he's doing, Ein mais of klum v'dino kishota. Such a person, in fact, is considered like a mentally incompetent person, and all of his actions are not considered valid. But if he hasn't reached the level of drunkenness of lot, albeit he is inebriated, his actions all count, albeit, as we said, l'chatchila, he shouldn't daven. We'll have more about this dinim of drunkenness tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, but this is a good point to stop this year.